of the Operation Christmas Child. A bunch of them are going upstairs first to pack shoeboxes, so that's cool. All right. We're so blessed to have all of these kids being raised up in the ways of the Lord. Amen? And we're also blessed to have my teammate here today who's going to bring the word. My wife, Sandy, would you give her a warm welcome and encourage her?
Good morning. It's such a privilege to be up here, and I just have a word for the men. Let me just see. We have a lot of people out today, but let me see where the men are. Hey, I want to encourage you. You need to get to Africa, because when you go to Africa and you see men worship, it's incredible. They are so expressive. They dance and jump and praise, and it's amazing. And actually, Peter Street has asked that perhaps the next team that comes, he said, like, where are the men? You need to bring some men. So, men, maybe that can be a mandate in a couple years, is you're going to join that team and go and in worship. So, anyway, but good morning, good morning. Hey, I appreciate so much the worship team. Thank you, Henry and Lori and Crystal and just Laura that were on this morning. I felt like I have a word of faith this morning. Who wants to grow in faith? Hey, I like that. Amen. And I feel like already that God is speaking. He's already wanting to impart faith. And that's what I'm going to talk about this morning. So I've got something here, though, I want to show you. You know me. I love props. And anyway, does anybody know what this is? It's what? Good for you. The gold star will go to you, Carol. This is, and for young people, you would never know what this is, but this indeed is a key for roller skates. And I remember, in fact, you want to put that first picture up, Denise? I remember my first pair of roller skates. And I just remember when my parents gave them to me, and they were new, and you had to use this key to make them bigger or smaller. And man, I'll tell you, those skates were amazing. And can you show the next picture? And the next picture was of a new bike. Now, mine didn't have training wheels on it, and I don't think mine had that bar across it either, but this is called the Pixie, and I used to have a Pixie haircut, so it was the perfect bike, and it used to have a basket on it. But those gifts that my parents bought for me took me to some new places that I couldn't go walking, and they also took me to some new experiences. And the word new means never existing before. And God wants to do something new this morning. In fact, I feel like this is even prophetic in nature, not just for you personally, but really for our church, that God wants to take us to some new places that only He can take us. And so I'm actually going to title this message this morning. It's called Taking New Ground. And we're going to take some new ground this morning. And this message was really birthed out of my time when I was in Australia this summer. God did so many new things in me and spoke to me from His Word. It says in Isaiah, just 43, 18 and 19, it says, "Do not call to mind the former things or ponder the things of the past. Behold, I will do something new. Now it will spring forth. Will you not be aware of it? I will even make a roadway in the wilderness and rivers in the desert." So God is always wanting to birth new things. I don't know if you know, but you can't live on old bread. You can't live on old bread. Even in the Old Testament, when they had the manna, you had to go out every day and get the bread, because God wanted His people to have fresh, new bread. And God is the God of the new. And so today we're going to look at this passage that God really spoke to me out of when I was in Australia. It's from the book of John 11. And it's the story of Martha, Mary, and Lazarus. And it's just a fantastic story. And if you want to put that up, Denise, I'm going to read the first part of the story from the Message, and then I'm going to finish the story out of the New American Standard Version. It's kind of a long story, so try to stay with me, because I'm going to try to read the whole story and then kind of unpack from it what God wants us to glean from. So, okay. So it says, a man was sick, just Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. This was the same Mary who massaged the Lord's feet with aromatic oils and then wiped them with her hair. It was her brother Lazarus who was sick. So the sister sent word to Jesus, Master, the one you love is so very much is sick. So when Jesus got the message, he said, this sickness is not fatal. It will become an occasion to show God's glory by glorifying God's Son. Now, Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. But oddly, when he heard that Lazarus was sick, he stayed on where he was for two more days. And after the 2 days, he said to his disciples, let's go back to Judea. They said, Rabbi, you can't do that. The Jews are out to kill you, and you're going back? Now, I'm going to skip 9 and 10, and I'm going to pick it up at 11. He said these things and then announced, our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, and I'm going to wake him up. But the disciples said, Master, if he's gone to sleep, he'll get a good rest and wake up feeling fine. Jesus was talking about death while his disciples thought he was talking about taking a nap. I love that. Don't you love that? So often when Jesus spoke, his disciples just didn't get it. And that's so much like we are. Sometimes God does things and says things, and we just don't get it. But then Jesus became explicit. Lazarus died, and I'm glad for your sakes that I wasn't there. But you're about to be given new grounds for believing. Everybody say new grounds for believing. New grounds for believing. Now let's go to him. So God does, like I said, God wants to impart this morning just some fresh faith this morning and a new way of looking things. And so we're going to go on, and now we're going to go to New American Standard. And this is from John 11, just 21 through 44. Now Martha said to Jesus, Lord, if you'd been here, my brother would not have died. Even now I know that whatever you ask of God, God will give you. So Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again. Now Martha said to him, I know that he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day. But Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live even if he dies. And everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this? She said to him, yes, Lord. I have believed that you are the Christ, the Son of God, even he who comes into the world. Now, when she had said this, she went away and called just Mary, her sister, saying secretly, the teacher is here and is calling for you. And when she heard it, she got up quickly and was coming to him. I'm going to drop to just verse 32. And it says, therefore, when Mary came where Jesus was, she saw him and fell at his feet, saying to him, Lord, if you'd only been here, my brother would not have died. So when Jesus therefore saw her weeping and the Jews who came with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in spirit and was troubled and said, where have you laid him? And they said to him, Lord, come and see. And Jesus wept. So the Jews were saying, see how he loved him. See how he loved him. But some of them said, could not this man who opened the eyes of the blind man have kept this man also from dying? So Jesus, again, being deeply moved within, came to the tomb. Now it was a cave, and a stone was lying against it. And Jesus said, remove the stone. Martha, the sister of the deceased, said to him, Lord, by this time there will be a stench, for he has been dead 4 days. And Jesus said to her, did I not say to you that if you believe, you will see the glory of God? So they removed the stone. And then Jesus raised his eyes and said, Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but because of the people standing around, I said it, so they may believe that you sent me. And when he had said these things, he cried out with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And the man who had died came forth, bound hand and foot with wrappings, and his face was wrapped around with a cloth. And Jesus said to them, unbind him and let him go. An incredible, incredible, incredible story about this family that Jesus loved so much. And so my first point, and actually all of these flow together, they all overlap, but really the first point I want to draw out of this story is that Jesus was taking Martha and Mary to a whole new level of faith. Now, we know that Martha and Mary, and specifically Martha, had tremendous faith that Jesus would heal her brother. And we know that because they sent couriers to Jesus when he was sick. When their brother was sick, they sent someone. And I am sure that they absolutely thought for sure that he was coming. I'm sure they'd seen him heal the sick. And that text says specifically that he loved this family. They were friends of Jesus. So they had walked with him. They had seen what he could do. So when Mary and Martha specifically called and sent somebody for Jesus, I'm sure that they thought for sure that he was coming. We know from the text that he didn't come. In fact, really, Martha and Mary knew who to turn to in their time of trouble. They knew to turn to Jesus, but he didn't come because he had a greater thing in store for them. Now, they didn't know that at the time, so I can't even imagine their disappointment. They didn't understand. Perhaps they were angry, but it was because God was trying to enlarge their faith. And, you know, I'm sure they must have thought, you know, why the delay? Have you ever been in a place where you felt like God delayed or God disappointed you or somehow you didn't understand what God was doing? God always, always wants to take us to new places of faith. It says in Ephesians 3:20, it says, now to him who is able to do far more abundantly beyond all that we ask or think. Martha could not imagine that Jesus could raise the dead. I mean, she had a lot of faith. She believed that he could heal, but God wanted to take her beyond where she was to believe for greater things. You know, it says in the book of Mark, it says, these signs will accompany those who have believed. In my name, they will cast out demons, they will speak with new tongues, they will pick up serpents, and if they drink any deadly poison, it won't hurt them. They will lay their hands on the sick and they will recover. That's a whole other place of faith. It's one thing to believe that Jesus can heal somebody, but it's a new level of faith when you believe that God can use you to lay your hands on the sick and see them recover. And that's the reality of it. And God always is wanting us to grow and to step out so that we experience a greater reality of who he is. We have no idea, really, the God that we serve. Not only is he wonderful, but he's powerful. He is so powerful. And so God wants to take us, number one, to a new level of faith. Number two, he wants to take us to a new level of confidence. And it says in that story, it talks about, I mean, Jesus was confident. He says, in that story of Mary Martha, he said, Father, I thank you that you have heard me. And then he went on to say, I knew that you always have heard me. And you know, often we pray and we don't really believe at all that God hears us. I'm not sure. In fact, even in the story about Zechariah, who had prayed for many years to have a child, when he finally saw an angel. He saw an angel. And when the angel said, you're going to have a son, he still didn't believe because he didn't really believe, I don't think, that God heard his prayers. But God does hear our prayers. And one of my favorite scriptures, and I've memorized this and I've quoted it, it says 1 John 5:14 and 15. It says, this is the confidence. Everybody say confidence. confidence. This is the confidence which we have before him, that if we ask anything according to his will, well, how do I know if it's God's will? It's right in here. This is his will. So his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us in whatever we ask, we know that we have the request which we have asked from him. What does confidence mean? It means a firm belief and a trust and a reliance. God wants and needs to bring us to a fresh revelation of confidence of who he is and what he can do. You know, it says in Hebrews, and you've all heard this, it's Hebrews 11:6. It says, and without faith, it's impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those that seek him. Sometimes we think that our tears move God, and God cares about our tears. He cares about our groanings, but tears don't move the hand of God. Faith moves the hand of God. Belief in who he is and what he can do. And he says he's a rewarder of those that seek him. May I say this morning, God is not a withholder. Sometimes we have this funny filter, like somehow God's withholding something from us. And the word clearly says he's a rewarder. He's a blesser. He wants to give. Now, does that ever mean that he doesn't say no? Yes, he does sometimes say no, just like any good parent. But he is a rewarder, and he wants to build a confidence in us when we pray. Okay, number three. Okay, God wants to bring us into a new revelation of our position as sons and daughters. You know, it says of Jesus that when he was baptized, that God spoke over him. He said, "This is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased." Who believes this morning that when God looks at you, he said, "This is my beloved son or daughter in whom I'm well pleased"? If you believe that, raise your hand. Okay. God wants to do that in your life because God loves you. And our position as sons and daughters are amazing. It says in the book of Galatians 4:4-7, it says, "But when the fullness of time came, God sent forth his son, born of a woman under the law, so that he might redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive adoption as sons or daughters. Because you are sons and daughters, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, crying, 'Abba, Father.' Therefore, you're no longer a slave, but you're a son and an heir through God." We're heirs. We're heirs to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Like, he is our Father. And I love this. This is a quote from a book called Sonship, A Journey to the Father's Heart. It says, he is the Father, the real Father, and we are now his real sons and daughters. He has put his Spirit into us, and he is calling us into his love to experience his fathering until we grow to be sons and daughters appropriate to who he is. I love that line, that as we grow into sons and daughters to appropriate to who he really is. And I was thinking about this, and I was thinking about the prodigal son. And so often in that story about the prodigal son, we focus on the prodigal, you know, the son that, you know, took all the wealth and went out and lived, had this riotous living. But really this morning, I want to focus on the older son, because the older son worked for his father. In fact, this is found in the book of Luke. And, you know, when his younger brother came home, he was very angry. He was very angry because he thought, how dare my father throw a party for somebody who had completely used his money in an inappropriate way. In fact, it says here, this is, I'm just reading from Luke, just 30, it says, and he's speaking, the older son, he says, "But when this son of yours came, who has devoured your wealth with prostitutes, you killed the fattened calf for him. And then it says, and he said to him, and this is the father speaking to the older son, he said, son, you have always been with me, and all that is mine is yours. And here this older son had worked his whole life besides his father, but he didn't have a revelation of the goodness of his own father or who he was as a son. He could have asked his father any time to have a party for his friends, and yet he didn't even recognize it. And that's sometimes how we operate with God. We don't even realize who this amazing father is and our position as sons and daughters. I've never, ever had my three kids come up to me, get down on their knees and beg me for something, ever. We don't have to beg. If you are begging and pleading, God wants to completely change your filter because you don't need to beg. God is good. Like, he wants to give you good things. And so God wants to open your heart to who this amazing, amazing father is. Amen, brother. Number four, God wants to bring us into a new place of surrender. Do you know that you never go any place with your life with God except surrender? It's like one big surrender. Like my whole 40 years, I feel like has been one big surrender because new wine. In fact, hey, I love that song. You did a great job. But in that song, it says, it talks about laying down my old flames to carry your new fire today. Do you know that there's some things that you can't go forward in Christ until you lay down the other stuff? They're preventing you from new things. And it says, you know, surrender involves just letting go of our way, our will, and trusting that God's ways are better than ours, even when we don't understand. Surrender always involves trust. And that is the $1 million. I mean, trust is the issue that God wants to bring people to greater levels of trust because of who he is, not because of our experiences that we've had, particularly with authority figures in our life and perhaps fathers in our life. But God is so good. And that surrender, God wants to remove stones and angst. I love the word angst. I'm not sure I ever heard that word till about 3 years ago. Do you know what angst means? Who said, I tell you, Carol. Carol, two stars for you today. Okay. Well, the word angst means it's a feeling of anxiety, of torment, of anguish, of misery or woe about our own lives. And you know, even in this story with Mary and Martha, it said Jesus spoke and he said, remove the stone. And there's another scripture, I love it, in Luke. It's at the very end of Luke where it talks about the two women were coming to the tomb, you know, and obviously they were looking down after he died, and they said, who will remove the stone? Well, I'm here to tell you this morning that God can do for you what you could not do for yourself. God is the one that removes stones, but also, even more important than the stones, he can remove the angst, because sometimes I think the angst is worse than the stone. You know, our worry, and we just go over it, and we're anxious, and God wants to remove that angst from our lives. And I love this. It says in Romans 8:38, this is from the Passion Translation, and I love this. It says, so now I live with the confidence, everybody say confidence, confidence that there is nothing in the universe with the power to separate us from God's love. And I'm convinced that his love will triumph over death, life's troubles, fallen angels, dark rulers in the heavens. There's nothing in our present or future circumstance that can weaken his love. Isn't that fantastic? I love that. There's just a confidence that comes that God is so good. And I'll tell you, when I was in Australia this summer, I was reading this, and for many, many years, there's been something in my life that I worked and worked and worked at trying to change. I just, you know, you think after a while you get smart and say, hey, I think God needs to take care of this, but I can be very self-willed. I'm sure you can't believe that, but anyway, I can be very willful, and, you know, I just came to the end of myself. Just finally let go. And I felt like God just took that angst. It was an angst and gave me a faith. See, all of these actually flow together, because for you to let something go, God has to bring a faith in your life that He can do for you what you cannot do for yourself. You know, that's why you're here today. If you could have figured it out, you don't need to be in church. You don't need to serve God. If you can do everything yourself and have a perfect life, you wouldn't be sitting in this room. Isn't that right? The hope that we have to offer people isn't because of how great we are. It's the God that we serve. God has done something for me that I could not do for myself. That is what brings hope and faith to other people, because it says He's no respecter of persons. So what He did for me, He can certainly do for you, for sure. And so God really helped me just let go of something. And He removed the angst. He replaced it with faith. And my last point is where God takes you. Once you've done all those things, then He wants to take you to the place of rest. Rest is so important in our walk with Christ. And It's a new place of rest where we're not striving and struggling in our own flesh. In fact, I love the picture of Melinda holding that baby this morning. Because, in fact, I should ask Paul this question. Has your baby done anything that would make you love that baby? The answer is no. That baby's just laying there, but we love our babies. You know, when you see a baby, babies don't do anything to earn our love, is what I'm saying. You know, and that's how it is with God. We have to come to a place. So many of us work for God's love. We think if we're good, or we come to church, or we pray more, or we worship better, or whatever it is. But God wants to bring us to a place of freedom and rest, that we're just loved for who we are because we're in Christ. Amen. Hey, thank you. I appreciate that. Anyway, it says in Hebrews 4:1, it says, therefore, so let us fear if, while a promise remains of entering His rest, any one of you may seem to come short of it. In the book by Mark Buchan, which somebody gave me this book before I went on my sabbatical, man, this was a God book for sure, and it's called The Rest of God, and it says, and this is a quote from the book, he's actually talking about sleep here, but you're going to see the connection here. I think it's fantastic. It says, sleep, I already said, is a necessity, but it also is a relinquishment. It is a self-abandonment of control, of power, and of consciousness, and of identity. We direct nothing in our sleep. So sleep, besides being a necessity, is also an act of faith. And we do this well only under two conditions. Utter exhaustion, where we can't help ourselves, or complete confidence, where we stop trying to help ourselves. Then we sleep because we know from whence our help comes. We sleep because we know in whom we have believed and are confident that He's able to keep that which we have entrusted to Him. It's the same with Sabbath rest, or I put rest on the inside. It comes out of a complete confidence and trust that God is good and He is sovereign. Kenneth Copeland, in his devotional online, which I read almost every day, he's such a faith builder, man. I love this. And on day 222, he says, how do we enter that rest? Because that is the million dollar. How do you enter the rest that God has for you? In fact, it says in Matthew, it says, come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. So there's a promise for rest. The question is how do we get there? And this is what he says. He says, by trust and obedience. How do you come to that place of trust and obedience? By getting to know your Father, by spending time just fellowshipping with him in prayer and in the Word. That is the labor that will bring you into his rest. He began to reveal himself to me. He gave me glimpses of his heart, his nature, and his love. And as he revealed to me how much he wanted to do for his children, it changed my striving into peace, my doubt into trust, and my fear into bold obedience. It enabled me to enter his rest. And that's really what happened to me in Australia, at least in one area of my life. I finally, after many years, was able to enter into a rest and a trust that the thing that I had tried so hard to change, that God would change it. But you know what? Even if he didn't change it, it didn't make any difference anymore, because finally I had come to a place of peace. You know, we live in a world that desperately needs peace, and God wants his people full of his peace. Full of his love, full of his joy. So this morning, we're going to act on this word. That's what we're going to do. So I want you to listen because I'm going to have, I want everybody to receive what God has for you today. And so if you're here today and you feel like you want a new impartation of faith, like you just want God to put you and position you in a place where I'm going to grow into a new level of faith, I'm going to ask you to come forward. Don't come forward now. If you're here and you feel like, I just need the confidence that, you know what, God really does hear me when I pray, that I'm not just praying to the ceiling, I'm not just praying to the wall, that God really hears me when I pray, then I'm going to ask you to come forward. If you're here and you need a new revelation that I'm a son or daughter of the living God, like I want to know that I know that I know that, then I want you to come forward. If you feel like you've got stones and angst, like you're just tired of carrying these stones and angst in your life, like, God, I want you to bring me to a place of surrender. And can I say this morning that, you know, God has to bring you to a place of surrender. Isn't that an amazing thing? Like, you can want that, but you really, to get to that place, in fact, if you're part of AA, they say sometimes you got to hit the bottom, and that's really a place of release and surrender. If that's you, I'm going to have you come forward. And the last thing is if you need rest, if you just know you need an impartation of rest, God, I want to not strive anymore. God, I just want to live in your rest, in your peace. If that's you, I want you to come forward, because God is here not just to answer your prayer, but he wants to impart something through this message today. God wants a fresh impartation. So if any of those spoke to you, I want you to come forward right now. And also, I want the altar ministry teams to just come forward too. So keep coming, keep coming, keep coming, keep coming. Okay. And you can face whatever direction you want to face. Yeah, I figured almost the whole church would come down. This is sometimes the altar calls. I thought this is should include almost everybody in some way, because God wants to meet you. Jack, would you like to say something? Because we're going to pray
for you. God's going to answer this prayer. Confident in that, Lord, we need fresh faith. We need to go somewhere we've never been before. Lord, as a church and as individuals, we want to come to a new place. A new place of faith. Lord, we call out to you right now for a fresh faith to believe you in ways we never have before. Lord, we're looking to you for just eyes to see who you've made us to be as your sons and your daughters as your children. Lord, give us fresh revelation, we pray. Lord, we pray for your help in coming to that place of letting go and surrendering to you. Surrendering our will, surrendering our anxiety, surrendering, letting go. Because we can trust you, Lord, you're good. You're good. We believe. And Lord, as we let go, we thank you for bringing us into that place of trust, confidence, and rest. Thank you, Lord. Just release right now an impartation of faith by the Holy Spirit to each one at this altar. Lord, as each one has stepped out, acknowledging their need, Lord, we thank you that you hear. We thank you that you meet. We thank you for coming. Thank you for your presence, Holy Spirit. Your presence, Holy Spirit. In fresh grace.
How about if everybody just lifts their hands? Everybody just lift your hands. Father, we just thank you. It's not about us. It's not about me. God, it's about you. You're the God of the new. You're the God that wants to bring fresh impartation, fresh faith, God, fresh hope, fresh surrender, God, fresh recognition. And so, Father, we just release in the name of Jesus. We release in the name of Jesus fresh faith, God, fresh impartation, God. Thank you that you're the God of more than enough, more than enough, more than enough. And God, I pray that there would be testimonies that come out of this place at the altar, God, those that came forward, God, saying, God, touch my heart, touch my life. God, I want change and transformation. I want you to come and just give me these new places and these new things. And so, Father, I just thank you. Your word says if we ask anything according to your will, that you hear us. And if you hear us, God, we know we have whatsoever we've asked. So, God, I thank you for the days and the weeks and the months to come, God, that some of these people are going to look back on this altar, God, where you met them, where you filled them, God, that you enlarged them, that you challenged them, and God, ultimately, God, that you changed us to be more like Jesus. So, Father, we just bless you, bless you, bless you, bless you, bless you, in Jesus' name. Amen. And if you want just prayer about anything specific, we've got an altar team over here to the right. And there's going to be one over there to the left. Don't leave today if you want something prayed for specifically. But I'm believing. I'm so excited. I'm excited for testimonies that are going to come out of this. God is faithful.